City, right? In season, out of season?
Sure.
Well, do you or not?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Is this a trick question?
No. It's a biblical question.
The fire of heaven is here. I can see it.
Oh.
Right here, the Shekinah glory.
Right here. Yeah.
All right, we're going to pray. Pray with Brittany as she leads us in prayer for Pastor.
Okay.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for two awesome pastors. But, Lord, I just pray right now, especially
yes.
for Pastor John. And I pray for the word that he's going to be setting forward for us.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, I pray that whatever the word may be, that, you know, we soak it in and that we apply it to our everyday lives, Lord God. And I just thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Thank you for our pastors. Thank you for this word. And amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Very good. You may return to your seat, Brittany.
Well, if you've been around any time at all, you know we've been talking about the importance of having a close, personal relationship with God, about drawing closer to God, and that's what God desires to have with us. He wants to have this kind of intimate relationship with us. In James 4:8, it says, come near to God and he will come near to you. And that's really a great promise when you think about it, just to know that God himself is saying, you know, if you come to me, I'll return you. I'll come to you. It's not ever a one-sided, relationship with God. He always, if we just put forth the effort, he's going to come right there and be with us. He says, I stand here. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and eat with that person and they with me. I'll spend time with you. We'll sit around, you know, and talk. Basically, that's what he's saying. I want to hang out with you, is what he's saying. And in Hebrews 10:22, it says, let us draw near to God. And that's what we've been talking about, drawing near, drawing closer to God. As Christians, that should always be our goal. Our goal is to always want to get closer and closer to God, to get as close as we possibly can. And the Apostle Paul, he understood this completely. That's why he said in Philippians 3:8 that I consider everything else a loss because of the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. He goes on to say, I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. In other words, everything else in the world, he says, you know what? Compared to Jesus, it's garbage. Compared to the greatness of the surpassing greatness of God, everything else is worthless, is basically what he's saying. God wants us to take the time to slow down, make time for him, to put everything else aside and just really get to know him. That's why we're told in Psalm 46:10 to be still and know that I am God. It's only then when we begin to delight ourselves in God, when we begin to really experience him and enjoy him, that, you know, that the seducing power of this world then is neutralized. Because when our love for God is growing, our love for the world is diminishing. That's what happens. And the more we love God, the less we will be, you know, seduced and sucked into the world. By getting close to God and seeing the reality of his power, the reality of who he is, we see then how empty the things of this world are that otherwise might be tempting to us. When we come to Christ, something happens. There's a veil. It tells us in the Word in Corinthians that there's a veil that is removed from our hearts. And what happens is our eyes are open then to be able to see the truth and understand, you know, who God really is. For this to happen, our heart has to be set on God. We have to determine, we have to purpose in our heart that we're going to go after God. We're going to go after him, and we can't be double-minded. God doesn't want us to be double-minded, running after everything that crosses our path, looking here, looking there, and, you know, wanting this and wanting that and going after all these different things. We have to have our hearts set on Christ fixing our eyes on Jesus. We've heard that before. And the stronger and the purer the focus is of our heart, the clearer then that we will be able to see God. When we have a pure focus, a strong, you know, pure focus, you know, like when we have light and we shine light on something and then it's condensed and it's sort of purified and condensed and amplified, it becomes a laser. And that light is so bright then that it could blind you, literally. And so the stronger or the purer our heart and mind is when it's focused on God, the better we're going to be able to see Him. And that's what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 5:8. We talk about the Sermon on the Mount. You hear it as we call it the Sermon on the Mount. I don't think Jesus called it that. He just went there and spoke. We've labeled it the Sermon on the Mount. And in Matthew 5:8, He says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." And I'm going to talk about that today because it's so important for us to be able to have a pure heart. How many of you here today think of yourself as having a pure heart? Probably not too many of us. We just naturally don't think like, oh, my heart is so pure. Well, I guess the first thing we have to say is, well, what do I mean? What do I mean by a pure heart? So what I want to do is I want to look at the word pure in the sense of how Jesus used it. The word that Jesus used was katharos. And it means clean, it means pure, it means free from pollutants, uncontaminated, unadulterated, free from impurities, unmixed, undivided. That's the kind of purity that Jesus is looking at, this pure heart. He's looking for a heart that is not filled with all the other stuff, all contaminated and mixed up with all this other stuff. The same idea, Jesus was talking about the same idea when he said that we can't serve two masters, both God and the world, both God and money. It has to be a pure serving, a pure heart. Next, the word that Jesus was using for heart. What did he mean by that? Because we're talking about a pure heart. We know that what pure is. When he was talking about the heart, he did not mean this muscle inside of our chest that pumps blood. He wasn't talking about a physical heart. What he was talking about includes the inner person, that everything that, you know, that every function within us that makes us who we are, our character, our thoughts, our feelings, our attitudes, our emotions, our motives, the core of our being. This is what he's talking about when he's saying our heart, the inner essence of who we are. And so he wants this inner being, this core of who we are, to be undivided, unadulterated, pure, clean, and directed. And so he's saying, those blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they will see God. So God's looking for us to have pure motives, unselfish motives, unadulterated. He wants us to have a godly ambitions instead of selfish ambitions. He's looking for us to desire His will, God's best, desiring God Himself. Jesus was talking about a heart and mind that are unencumbered and free from this world so that we can not be bogged down, so that we have the freedom then to go after Him. That's a pretty tall order. I got to tell you, I mean, we think it's impossible because it sounds like so much. I mean, how could I ever have my heart be that way? How could I ever be that pure? And we ask ourselves, I mean, is it even possible for me to be like that? I mean, I'm sure many times we think, like, I don't know if I could have, like, if I could ever have a pure heart. But what I want to do is I want to look at what the scriptures say about having a pure heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, the second part of that scripture, it says, "Let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God." Man, that's a lot in there too, isn't it? Let us purify ourselves. So God wants us to get to work on purifying ourselves. This is a goal. This is where we're going for. This is what we want to work at now. Purifying ourselves, perfecting holiness, doing it out of reverence for God. Remember, there's another scripture that says, "Be perfect as I am perfect." Now, none of us are perfect. We all know that. And none of us are completely holy, but what God is saying is that's what we have to work towards. This is what we have to work towards. And he wants to have purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit. You know, I used to work on Zug Island way back. And it's a filthy place. And it was even dirtier then, way dirtier. This was back in the late 70s. And I used to have to wear these masks that were very uncomfortable. And, because they get all sweaty and it just really bothers you. You get a rash around your face from wearing them. But if you didn't wear the mask, there was all this tar and soot and smoke was all throughout the air, all on the island. And, you know, when you were right there in it, I mean, it was strong. And you breathe it in and, you know, you take a shower after you get home. And even days later, after you hadn't been at work, you take a shower and, you know, and you'd still get black coming out, sometimes out of your lungs. I'm sure somebody who might work in a coal mine might understand how that could be, you know, and something. I know Ray and Carmen's friends are here from West Virginia, and I was talking with him yesterday about working in a coal mine. And we understand how, you know, things can get in our body, but we try to put barriers up. We try to get rid of this, you know, by having a mask or by purifying the air. We use filters, you know, we put filters on our water to try to purify our water. When I was a firefighter, I wore a mask and a bottle on the back of my back called a Scott Pack, a steel bottle full of air so I could breathe that air instead of breathing the smoke, because we didn't want the contaminants coming into our lungs and into our body and into our eyes and up in our nose and, you know, all in our everywhere. It just gets in you. So we work on purifying the body, trying to eat organic food, and, you know, we try to eat free-range chickens and, you know, non-GMO meats and products and all this stuff. We've got the FDA out there trying to protect us. But what about our spirit? What about our heart? Are we as cautious in keeping the contaminants away from our heart, from our inner being? We're told in Timothy 5:22 to keep yourself pure. James 4:8, come near to God and He will come near to you. I just read that a little while ago, but it goes on a little further. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. God wants us to purify our hearts. We keep hearing it in the Scriptures. James understood. He says, purify your hearts, you double-minded. James understood that being double-minded meant having a divided heart. In the sense that it's divided, it's impure, because a pure heart will all be focused on one thing. A heart that is divided cannot be pure. According to the definition of pure that Jesus was talking about. So a divided heart, one that is double-minded, is serving part godly motives, part worldly motives, part godly attitudes, part worldly attitudes. Some good, some bad. But that's not what God wants. He doesn't want just a piece of our heart. He's not Janis Joplin singing, you know, give us a piece of my heart, you know. God wants the whole heart. Undivided, pure, uncontaminated. God wants us to serve Him with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. Our whole heart. This is the kind of undefiled heart that God wants us to have towards Him. And God is not so cruel that He would expect or even command us to have this pure heart and then not let it be possible. Why would He tell us to purify our hearts? Why would He tell us to keep yourself pure? Why would He tell us, you know, to not be double-minded, to purify your hearts and do all these things if it was impossible? He wouldn't. So there is the possibility. The ability can be there when we work with God to start to purify our hearts. A pure heart is possible for us. It doesn't mean that we're going to be innocent of all sin in thought, word, and deed. I guarantee you we'll never be like Jesus Christ, perfect. It doesn't imply that by saying that we're going to have a pure heart, it doesn't mean that we are going to enter this state of perfection and never mess up. Of course it doesn't mean that, because not one of us would be able to make it then. God knows better than anyone that His people are imperfect. He understands us. He understands our human heart. He understands our emotions. He understands our feelings, our worries. He understands our fears and our doubts and all these things that we want to get rid of, a lot of it, but He understands how we are. He walked this earth. He lived among people. He became flesh. And He went through the same kind of things that we've gone through, and He understands what we feel. And so God knows that we're not perfect. But what a pure heart is a heart that has been cleansed by God. A heart that has been cleansed of everything that is contrary to God and contrary to His holiness. And we know that God can cleanse us. It's a heart that has been humbled and broken, like a wild bucking horse that is all of a sudden, when you see this horse that nobody could possibly ride, and it's going crazy and it's stomping on people and everybody's afraid, and then all of a sudden someone's able to break it. And now this horse is now perfectly at peace with its master. And that's sort of how we were, wild bucking horses. We were, you know, against God, against what He had for us, against having a pure heart. We didn't care about having a pure heart. We didn't want a pure heart. We wanted the things that we wanted. We wanted the things of this world. We were running after everything in the world. And God's saying, that's not what you want. You want to run after Me. And so a pure heart is when we start to push all that aside and focus on Him. It's a heart whose motives and attitudes are now lining up with God's will. It's when we walk in God's purpose and plan. It's when our ambitions and our desires line up with God's. Can we remain in this place when we reach it? Well, it may not be easy. And in fact, I will tell you, I'm not going to lie to you, it will not be easy to remain in that place of having a pure heart. It's not easy. Does that mean we give up? That is our goal. We have to have a goal. If you're saving up for a car or a house or a vacation or to get married or whatever it is, and you say, I need to have so many $1,000s, I need to have $10,000 in the bank before I can do this, and then your water heater breaks, your car breaks down, you get sick, this happens, you miss work, do we give up on that goal? I hope not. If that was your goal, then that should still be your goal. We have problems that pop up. We have setbacks that come up. We have things that happen that stop us. We have, sometimes we just mess up and we just stop for a while, but then we get back on track. We get back running after the goal. There's something called an ideal, I-D-E-A-L, not idea, but an ideal. The ideal is that perfect, that perfection that we're looking for. The ideal vacation, the ideal husband, the ideal wife. Where do you find one of those? We look for them, we try to find them, you know, we try to be that thing. But we never completely maybe get to that level of perfection, but that's our goal. We want the ideal child, don't we all? We want our children to be the ideal children. We want our home to be the ideal home. We want our yard to be the ideal yard. We want our, you know, we want everything. We want the best. We want this, and in our mind, we get this level of perfection. A pure heart is the ideal that we strive for. No, we're not there. I don't think anybody in here has a perfectly pure heart that is totally uncontaminated with anything from the world, that is undivided, that is unadulterated, no contaminants, no problems, no nothing. But you know what? That's our goal. That is the ideal that we strive for. And we should never give up. Ever. I mean, what do we set our sights on? We say, okay, well, I'm going to choose, I think I'll shoot for 70% pure heart. So I'm just going to set aside. Well, so as soon as we say that, think about that. Okay, that means I'm going to give 30% over of myself to the world and sin. I'll just write it down. I'm just going to start right now, 30%. Let's see, that means I can do this, and I can do this, and I can do this. And I'll still be all right because I'm still going to do my 70%. So see, it would be foolish to think of ourselves as saying, to wanting less than the best. I mean, you see these signs around. You've tried the rest, now try the best, right? You see, a store puts that out, you know? You know, when you have a business, you want that business to be the best. When you do a test, you want to do the best. When you dress up, you want to look your best. We want the best. Why would we not want the best? Taylor sang there today, you know, and it was great. It really was. Now, in Taylor's mind, I bet, I don't know this, but just knowing how people are and how we are, she's probably thinking, well, there was that one little word I missed a little bit, and there was that one chord I didn't hit quite right, and you know, she's thinking, I didn't get the best. Everybody else is thinking, man, that was the best, you know? But when we know, we know. But I'll bet she's not going to say, you know, I'm going up there today and I'm going to plan on hitting 80% of my chords. I'm going to sing 90% of the words right, and I'll only go flat 10% of the time. That's a good plan. That sounds ridiculous, wouldn't it? She wanted 100%. And as far as we could tell, she gave it. Right? We always want to strive for the best, for the ideal, for the goal. And so we want to strive for this pure heart. Paul prayed for his fellow believers, and really, in a sense, for us, in Philippians 1:9, and he said, "And this is my prayer, that you may abound more and more in knowledge and depth and insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ." There it is again. I mean, he's praying that we understand what the best is. We understand what the goal is, what the ideal is. So we got to have this. And then that we do it, that we may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. In other words, we're working towards that goal. By the time we get there and we die, that's our goal, is I want to be perfect on the day I die. I probably won't make it. You probably won't make it either. But that's my goal. And that should be your goal. Here's the thing. We can't worry about the future. Well, what if I blow it next? Yeah, well, you know what? What if we do? We have to trust God to help us in the future, just like we trust Him to help us in the now. And if you think about it, in the now, there can be times where your heart is pure, right? I would hope everybody at some point could say, you know, right now, I mean, you know, in the middle of worship, maybe in the middle of prayer, you know, in the middle of crying and repenting before God, you know, at certain times in our life that we have entered into this maybe just a short period, but this time where we have no other thoughts in our mind. All we have is God. All we have is, I just want to serve you. I just want what you want from me. God, I don't care anymore. I just want to do what you want. There's a pure heart. Now, can we keep it? It's hard. So we have to trust God that if He can help us do it right now, He can help us do it in the future. So that's going to be my goal. Matthew 5:8 tells us, if our heart is pure, we'll be blessed. Well, how is it that we're going to be blessed? Blessed are those whose heart is pure. They will see God. There's one of the ways right there that we're going to be blessed. It tells us we will see God. What does that mean? Is God going to come and appear to us in person? If my heart's pure, God's going to all of a sudden, bam, show up? Am I going to have a vision of God? Maybe a dream tonight when I go to sleep? If God wanted to, He could do that. He could show up anytime He wants. Does it mean that we're going to see Him when we die? Well, I can guarantee you we're going to see God when we die. Everybody is. Some for a long time, some for a very short time. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about something that's more of an immediate blessing. So let me ask you a question. I want you to think about this. When you see a good friend of yours, your best friend, somebody you really care about, you know you love them, they love you. When you see that friend coming over, what do you see? Do you look at, are you looking at the color of their hair? Are you looking at the size of their hands? Are you worried about what pants they're wearing or what shoes? Or are you thinking about how tall they are or did they put on a pound or something like that? That's not, when our friend comes over, somebody that we want to see, that's not, we don't start, you know, we're not looking to see those kind of things. We're looking at somebody. What we see is our friend. We see someone who shares our burdens. We see someone who has common interests. We see somebody who, you know, they shared their heart with us. We've shared our heart with them, and somebody we enjoy spending time with. That's what we see. We don't see all the things. We see the person and the heart of that person. We're not looking so much at the physical body or the characteristics. What we see is that person that we love and we care about and we enjoy. We see their character, their heart, their friendship, our past shared experiences. All that comes into play. You know, it starts to come into our mind. You know, we're thinking, oh man, remember the time we did this, and there's my good friend. Man, we do so many things together. We do this and we do that. When our heart is pure before God, we're able to see God in that way for who He is. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. We begin to see God. We begin to see His holiness. We begin to see His wisdom. We begin to see His mercy. We begin to see, you know, His love, His majesty, His beauty. We begin to see those aspects of God that people who don't have a heart for Him will never see. But we get to see it. Our heart is sort of like a window or a windshield. It's always getting dirty. It's, you know, it gets contaminated with impurities, and we can't see clearly because there's always something on our windshield when we're driving around. Maybe some of you have driven around in the winter and either your wiper was broke or maybe you ran out of windshield washer fluid. And all this dirty snow gets shot up onto your windshield, and you try to wipe it off, and after it starts to wipe, but then after a while it starts to get like sort of hard and dry down there, and it starts to form a film, and you don't have any more fluid, and maybe you're far away from home. And this happened to me one time. I was driving to New York. I was driving through the mountains of New York, and I remember we were going around these bends, and it was really scary. There was all this snow on the, you know, that was coming down. It was on the ground, and I ran out of windshield washer fluid. And I had been, you know, I the truck's going by, and you know, there's two lanes going around these mountains on these big curves, and this truck's going by, and it's like all over your windshield, and you're like, I can't see. And so you kept using, you know, pushing that button, getting all that fluid out, and pretty soon I ran out of fluid. I couldn't see at all. It was terrible. I mean, it was scary. Me and this other guy were in the car. We're just young guys. We're only like 19, 20 years old doing a road trip to New York. And it was really scary going around. We were literally going around curves on the mountain, couldn't see a thing because this truck was shooting stuff in our windshield, and then I kept doing, then it would sort of clear, but then immediately it would disappear again, and I was like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? So I had to keep pulling over and taking snow and throwing it on my, on my windshield to try to clear it off. And I mean, it was terrible. Then you get back in and wow, it's nice and clear. And it's like, oh my gosh, thank you. You know, thank you. And we can see again, you know, but then next thing you know, along comes another truck, you know, past you and throws all this stuff up. And it was rough. I would never wish that on anybody. But sometimes that's how our heart is. It collects the dirt. It collects the impurities. It collects the contaminants, the lusts, the desires, the things of this world. And our heart, the window of our heart gets so dirty that we can't see God. We don't see Him in the things that, in the way we want to see Him. Matthew 15, 19 and 20 says, "For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, idolatry, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. This is what makes a man unclean. This is what makes our heart unclean." And the list could go on and on and on. And that's the stuff that dirties up this window of our heart. Our petty jealousies, our arguments, our anger, our selfish desires, our attitudes, all these things, they start to muddy up our heart. And we can't see God anymore. All this stuff gets in the way and clouds up our vision. And we just can't see Him. And that's why it's so important for us to have a pure heart so we can see God. God is spirit. And we can only see God through our spiritual eyes. And that's really hard to do when all this flesh is piled up in front of us and all this contamination and all this sin and all these desires, and it's all in front of us and we don't see God. We can't see through the pile because we're not seeing by the Spirit anymore. We're only seeing by the flesh when our heart is filled with flesh, with fleshly desires, fleshly goals, fleshly ideals, instead of godly desires, godly goals, and godly ideals. Psalm 24, verse 3 and 4 says, "Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in His holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what he does, what is false. A pure heart gives us access to God. A pure heart lets us stand in his presence, in his holy place. It lets us come close to God. A pure heart allows us to draw close, draw near to God. That's what we're going for. It helps us to see the Lord in all that we do, in every situation. It helps us to see that God is there. A pure heart will see God in the midst of a trial. In the midst of a disaster, in the midst of a calamity, we cry out and we still can find God when our motivation, our heart, is after God. A pure heart will see God in his provision. Every time we get a blessing, we'll see that God blessed me. It wasn't my boss. It wasn't my company. It wasn't I found this or I did that or I won that. It was God blessing me. God's my provider. A pure heart will cause us to see a smile on our... It's like the morning sun is like God smiling down on us. A pure heart will cause us to see the love of God in the people around us. The power of God at work in the people around us, the people that we love. Titus 1:15 says, to the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are corrupted and do not believe, nothing is pure. That's a pretty heavy scripture. To the pure, all things are pure. So if we have this pure heart before God, we're going to see God in everything. We're going to see pure God. To the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are corrupted and do not believe, or have this heart that's so full of contamination that it's overwhelmed and can't see God, to those who can't believe, nothing is pure. When our hearts are pure before God, we can see his pure love, his blessing, his mercy, his righteousness, his beauty, his majesty, and everything around us. Everywhere we look, we can see God. We see him in all he does, in all creation. I love going camping. Anybody that knows me knows I'm a camper. I love going camping. I love getting away out of the city and getting out into the country. Last year we camped up on top of the Lower Peninsula, right on the very top, in this campground out there that was, there was nothing around there. I mean, we're actually on this little peninsula that had, it was about half an hour away from the bridge, but it was off to the right, you know, over there, and there was nothing there. And there was this one spot that we went to, and I can't remember what they called it, but they said it was one of about five or six spots in the country that had no interference of light, no light. The way it just happened to be in this like bowl-shaped area and woods all around and on the coast, and there was no light coming from any place around it. And so it said it gave you a perfect view of the heavens. And when you get away from the city lights, even if you just get out in the country a little bit, or, you know, you don't have to be that far away, but just to get away, the stars are so much brighter. And the stars are so much more beautiful. And when I look up at those stars, I see God's hand in creation. I recognize how great and how awesome he is. And I see myself as small. I see my problems as insignificant, passing, fading things in the scheme of things. I mean, certainly we still have our problems. We still have things we have to deal with. But when we compare our problems to eternity, they shrink down quite a bit in size. And when we get out in the middle of nowhere and we're out just staring up at the stars and seeing the, you know, the shooting stars passing by every once in a while, and you hear just the crickets chirping and the little gentle breezes blowing, and you're is maybe laying on your back looking up at the sky. It's just gorgeous. And someone else might be looking up at those same stars, and they see the stars and the planets and the constellations, and they know their signs and the stars, and they could maybe even navigate their way across the ocean. And they know their stars, and that's what they see. Unfortunately, that's all they see, is just the stars. When I see the stars, when I look up in the sky, I see the stars too. But I see so much more because I see the Creator of the stars. I see God's hand in the beauty, you know, of so many things. Just yesterday, I was just driving. I think it was yesterday, and the sky was great. It was really good, you know. The clouds just going. It might have been Friday. I can't remember. It was Friday or Saturday, but the sun was shining, you know, and the clouds all had this like little bits of light on them, and it was just so cool looking. I mean, it almost takes your breath away. And thinking about those stars and places like that, and thinking about the forests and the mountains and the oceans and the, you know, God's people and this church and you. And, you know, I see God in all these things. I see God in me and my family, and you see God everywhere you look. And this is what God wants. He wants us to be able to see any situation and to look at it and see Him. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. When our gaze is fixed on God, when our heart is set on God, we're going to see God. That's why it's so important to have that ideal, that goal, that purpose, to run after God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Next week, I'm going to look at how God will work His purifying power in you and things that you can do to help purify your heart. I want to help. I've actually been thinking about this a lot, and I want us to see, I want us to be able to see how we can help to move this process along. And so we can understand what God has already provided for us and everything that we need to do then as we co-labor with Him to get the job done, to get to that, to go after that pure heart so that we can see God in everything that we do, everything that we are, everything that we have, everywhere we go. It's great when you can see God. I know I shared this one time before. Pastor Don and I one time went on a trip. If I could have the prayer team come forward too. We went on a trip one time, and it was about a 10-hour trip over to the East Coast, and we made a game up. And the game was, all right, how can we see God in the different things that we go by, that we pass? And so we started talking about every single thing we saw, the animals, the cars, the license plates, the states, you know, the signs, what did the signs say, the homes, the people in the cars, you know, that everything we could see. I mean, it just was amazing when you start thinking about it, when you start putting your mind on it, you can see God in everything. And that's where God wants us to get. Not that we're not going to, of course, we're still got to do our job. We're still going to clean the house. We're still going to go to work. We're still going to put gas in the car. We're still going to do all those things. But in the midst of everything that we do, we can still see God. And it's an amazing thing. When we start to do that, when we start to see God like that, something begins to stir up inside of us. Something begins to change inside of us. We become more in tune with God. We start to get closer and closer to God then, because as we're thinking about Him, as we're seeing Him, it's changing us. It's making us more aware of Him. It's making us able to share Him more consistently, making us more alive with Him inside of us. It's a great place to be. I'm not there. You're not there. But we can continue to move and to get more and more close, more and more closer, getting closer and closer to that place where we have that purity in our heart to go after the things of God. So let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you so much that you work in our hearts. Lord, that your word tells us that we can walk in purity, that we can have a pure heart, that we can be uncontaminated and not be dragged down into this world, but that we can lift up our eyes to the hills to see where our help comes from, to know that it's you, Lord. Lord, I pray that we would begin to see the ideal, the goal, and work towards that goal, towards seeking you first, seeking for first your kingdom, having our heart and our mind set on you, loving you with our whole heart, our whole mind, with all that is within us, with all of our strength, pure and unadulterated. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen.